The biggest story in the country is what is developing in Florida just weeks after Helene and the damage in Florida, in Georgia, in North Carolina. I mean, just seeing reports again today, Dave, about Asheville and water, just regular water, how far away they are from getting back to regular water. When you consider, what do we have, 40,000 gallons of rain, which came out of Helene. Now we have Milton. And this storm, which at one point yesterday was a Category 5, it is a Category 4 right now. You had one longtime meteorologist saying, if Milton reaches the power it potentially has, we might need a new category. There's never been a Category 6. Our friend from WCCO-TV, Chris Schaefer, is kind enough to join us on this story. Hello, my friend. Great to have you on again. Your business, you face this all the time when people say, oh, come on, Chris, you and everybody in weather, you're overhyping things. Calm down. It never lives up to as scary as some things seem to be. When you look at what is projected at Florida, when you analyze it, when you look to others who you respect about the power of hurricanes, this one directed at the Tampa area, a bit of an unusual path. What stands out most to you about what might take place starting evening or late night tomorrow?
I find it frightening, which is a word, you know, I will say, when I hear people say, I believe there was a director down there who said, if you stay here, you will die. I don't like to hear that because, A, that could challenge somebody to go, oh, yeah, I'll show you. But also, I think that is putting too much fear into people. But the bottom line is, we're here to protect life. We're here to inform you. The good thing about hurricanes, and there aren't many, is that you have days in advance of warning. We've been tracking Milton since before Milton had a name, and there are still a few days until Milton will make landfall. But this is scary. This is a life-threatening situation. And the biggest thing I'm concerned about, and every meteorologist for that matter, is safety of people. Yes, the hurricane is going to hit. Yes, it is going to destroy buildings. But we can rebuild, but we can't resurrect. You know, if it takes people out, that's it. So if you can drive to Miami, if you can drive to Tallahassee, if you can go to Georgia, if you can go somewhere for a few days, ride it out. You know what I mean? There's no sense in trying to stay in the path of these hurricanes. I love my house. Chad, you love your house. Yep. We all do. I don't love it that much.
No.
I'm not going to die for my house.
No.
You know.
Not even close.
Right.
So that was the mayor of Tampa, Chris. That was the mayor of Tampa with Caitlin Collins yesterday saying, if you stay, you're going to die. So I want you to expand on that because I'm sure she has watched some of the issues they've had before, other parts of Florida, other areas in that area where too many people have stayed, right? And you're amplifying on that also. You think that's too far? Because for me, I watched that and I thought, maybe that does get to some people who are so inclined to stay and convinces him or her to leave. Or you're worried somebody's going to say, oh, really? I'm going to take this as a challenge, and I'm going to stay.
Yeah, and I think with every hurricane, you're never going to get 100% of the people to heed your warnings. And the warnings are very justified, clearly, because this isn't like a frontal boundary or a rain track that might shift 30 or 40 miles. If it does, you're still in the path of the hurricane. And they are deadly, especially when this will be another major one that will likely make landfall as a Category 3 hurricane. And we always talk about the wind speeds, Chad. You hear us obsess about that.
Sure.
That's what the categories are based on. And that still winds up to 129 miles per hour. What people forget about, though, the storm surge, if you're right there by the beach, like a lot of the hotels are, the tornadoes that are possible, the flooding that we saw states inland from where Helene made landfall. There's so much danger involved. I do understand the mayor being extreme to get people out. That's the key. But the bottom line is, I don't know what the percentage is, but let's say it's 20% that stay. That doesn't mean all 20% of the people are going to die.
Yeah, understand. Yep.
Yeah. So, but I get where her heart is. I get where her brain is. It's the same thing I tell you. If there's a tornado here in Minnesota that we're very familiar with, you'll hear me saying, get down to your basement. Don't run to your window and take a look at it or shoot a video with your phone. Just get down there. If it doesn't hit you, so what? It's better to be safe than sorry. Or in the case of tornadoes and hurricanes, it's better to be safe than dead.
Chris Schaefer from WCCO TV is with us. It's 14 past 2. We're talking about Milton. So let's stay with the wind situation, Chris, where yesterday when it was pretty far out in the Gulf, it was over 180 at one point, and that's when this legendary meteorologist down there was saying maybe we need a new category. Maybe this could get to 200. You are saying now, from what you're seeing, that maybe the most accurate projection is a Category 3 when it arrives on land?
Yeah, I've seen more and more confirmation on that. You know, the exact pinpoint of its arrival, I would say, you know, Tampa is a good base, but I would say anything, and I'm not Captain Florida. I don't have a place down there.
I have you down on my phone as Captain Florida.
There you go.
Do I have to change that? I mean,
it's right under Blaise Bodine, right? Okay, that's another story.
That's another story.
Honestly, everybody from Sarasota, St. Petersburg, up to Holiday, yep. Clearwater, we've heard so many of these mentioned from, you know, people that have folks down there that yep. are retired, or maybe you have a place in the winter. They're all going to take some kind of damage, whether this swings 20 miles north or south. But yes, going back to the categories, I mean, the Category 5 is pretty loose. It's 157 plus. So yes, it could go up to 200. And I would like to see a few more added, because there's a big difference if it's 170 or 200 that could happen. But the bottom line is, fortunately, when Milton went across the northern Yucatan Peninsula, it encountered, topography, basically, beaches, hills, trees, and that slowed it down a bit. I wouldn't be shocked if it strengthened a little bit again, but as it nears Florida, it should drop just like Helene did. It was at one point a Category 4, dropped to a 3, but it doesn't matter. You saw the damage that happened,
yes.
and there's just so right. many forms. I brought up something yesterday, and I did catch one of our CBS News national reports picked up. I think it was a guy from FEMA who said, you have to remember, there's a lot of junk lying around from Helene. It might be parts of houses. It might be down trees. If that stuff goes airborne, now you've got projectiles that can do more damage. They could kill people. So it's a very dangerous situation. You can't batten down the hatches, so to speak, when there's that much stuff laying around.
The part that I think stunned so many of us about Helene, Chris, is how it continued to go, right? And to see Asheville as unrecognizable as it is, as uninhabitable as part of it is now, where Asheville is, what, 250 to 300 miles away from the coast, and that Helene diverted away and still had that power. Do you have a sense that once it goes, as you said, the Tampa path, the ferocity it might have as it continues to move through Florida and the other areas of the states nearby, which might be in jeopardy?
Yeah, what was concerning to me, too, when I first looked at the first prognosis, basically, of where it's going to hit. We call them spaghetti plots. I'm sure you've heard that before, because they look like spaghetti noodles. It's multiple outcomes that could happen. And when I saw the ones that were targeting Tampa, what shocked me is when Milton emerges on the other side, I'm talking about the future now, it was still a Category 1 hurricane, which I wouldn't want to strike coming off the Gulf to begin with, but that's how strong this hurricane will be. Now, Florida is a thinner pelt, obviously, than going inland into states like Helene did,
mm-hmm.
but to be that strong to go across, now we're talking about, you know, not just Tampa, you know, if you go inland from there on the path, and I would assume it would maintain its northeast, Orlando could see some damage from this in the form of flooding and all that, as well as the winds. Kissimmee, a bunch of these towns that we've heard are going to be impacted by this, because it is going to maintain its strength. And then fortunately, when it emerges in the Atlantic, it'll spin off to sea. But the next couple of days, specifically Wednesday into Friday are going to be very rough for Floridians.
Last thing, and I'll let you go again, our friend Chris Schaefer from WCCO-TV is here. Since we're talking Tampa, let's stay with it and this path. I saw the headline everywhere today. Tampa has not been hit. Tampa Bay has not been hit directly by a major hurricane since 1921. That blew me away. Because I just think of the Gulf side and what happens. Why is this path so atypical from most other hurricanes?
I would say with a lot of these hurricanes, it is a crapshoot. Ultimately, there aren't any hurricane highways down there or anything like that. It's all affected on where they originate, what the prevailing winds are doing that steer them, and we could see this shift. But looking at the long range models, it's pretty much pinpointing that area. But I hear that a lot, Chad, and I'm sure you do too. When people move to Florida, because we know a lot of Minnesotans who do that.
Oh yeah,
the winters.
Sure.
They're like, what are the odds? One hit here 28 years ago. It's not going to happen again. That's what's scary, is because there are no guarantees.
No.
It could happen. It could happen 5 years in a row. It hasn't, fortunately, but that's the risk that people take down there. And obviously, it goes beyond the devastation of the storms, the cleanup, the insurance issues, and all of that stuff. They're just such a nightmare that I will take our boring weather. I will take a wind chill of 25 below over this stuff any day of the week.
Yeah. Chris will be all over this on WCCO-TV this afternoon, this evening, and tonight. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
You got it. By the way, I'm stoked about the Twins, too. Thanks for sharing that news.
Absolutely. Good news on the Twins on the radio side, and the MLB now saying they're going to produce the Twins, so greater access for this upcoming season. Dave, it makes me think of the worst weather event individuals have ever faced. I don't think the two of us have done this, but I've talked about this before. Can we just get this out of the way? You're not allowed to say the Halloween storm.
Of course you're not, because that was the best weather event. Okay. That's why we remember it so fondly, Chadwick.
Got it. We lived it. It was a little dusty. Okay.
Okay.
It was a little dusty.
If you're going to besmirch the blizzard of 91.
I had to drive through it to watch the beginning of the Jimmy Rogers era. So don't get to me on that day.
Okay. Which would you rather sit through, the beginning of the Jimmy Rogers era or another Halloween blizzard?
Do I get paid and I just watch the games at home?
No, you got to go there.
I got to go back?
Yep.
I think I have Quentin. That's going to change things. Okay, so you cannot say the 91 Halloween storm, because I know for a lot of people, that is it. What is the worst weather event you have faced? What one do you have? It could be while you're living here in Minnesota. It could be one while you're living somewhere else in the country. It could be where you're living outside this country. What did you face? You want to text? You can text. You want to call and elaborate? You can do that. 651-461-9226. Just a little more info on the Twins announcement, and then we'll get to your calls and texts on the worst weather event you have faced personally. 651-461-9226, the stylesfinancial.com, talk and text lines. Again, love more. 651-461-9226. Twins announce in a release about 150 that Major League Baseball will produce their games and two other teams, just like they produced three teams' games last year. So this ends all the Bally's concern. Also in the release, they said the availability would go from 1.1 million to 4 million. You remember the 1.1 million? They were paying. Okay? So Dave St. Peter on a Zoom call, I'm seeing a little bit of what Dave is saying from various Twitter reports, this will eliminate all the blackouts. People have hated the blackouts.
Good step. Great step.
Then on the payroll, we do expect there will be a reduction in local media revenue coming to the Twins this upcoming year. But he noted that Joe Pohled was aware of what was going to happen, and on some of the payroll talk, when they had a end-of-year press conference, of course, during the Vikings-Packers game.
It's wise for Dave to get that point in there right away.
Yeah, yeah. Have the press conference, by the way, not during the Vikings-Packers game. So they're going to, you know, but then what they did is they told people off the record that, no, the payroll's not going down any further. So if you think this new deal with MLB is going to be the impetus to have more revenue, according to St. Peter, no. Obviously, they have the wealth if they wanted to spend as much money as they want, but it didn't seem like Joe Pola was inclined to do that. Well,
I'm
from
sure,
the sound bites.
Sure, the Twins
to say the least.
Hope this will be the impetus to keeping the team relevant in people's minds and,
yeah,
hey, maybe showing up at the ballpark in September.
Exactly how you're going to have it streamed, how you're going to see it, don't have all those details yet. Worst weather event you've ever experienced, call me, 651-461-9226. Aaron, you're first up on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Wonderful. Thanks for having me, Chad. Hey, Chad, I'm going to indulge for just less than a minute.
Yeah, sure.
I just wanted to give you a public compliment that out of all of the radio personalities in the Twin Cities, you have the ability to have fun banter, like overrated, underrated, properly rated, all the fun stuff. You also know sports, but the fact that you are informed enough to have hard issue dialogue with real meaningful people about real political and social issues, only about probably 2% of broadcasters have the ability to do that. And you do that, and I really appreciate it.
Well, that is very, very kind.
That's enough.
I appreciate
it. Get to the point. We don't need more of this. I hear it every day.
I know it's terrible. Yeah. Yeah. You guys are going to have a vomitorium, and you also don't pepper it with any political leanings, and that's a very good talent. Anyway, back to weather. I don't know if people remember this, but you know, we had El Nino in like '97 that kind of calmed and softened our winters. But in the winter, like January, February of 1995, we had a cold spell.
Oh yeah,
where
I remember
two solid weeks. We did not have daily highs that broke above zero. It was truly a 2 week solid deep freeze that the highs were like in the negative temperatures, and people's like heat bills, it was breaking the bank, like, you know, Centerpoint Energy, like everybody was so incredibly cold. People don't remember how incredibly dangerously freezing that was.
I do. And by the way, if you want to call in anytime, we'll put you first on the list. No, I'm kidding. I do, because this one, I'm broadcasting the Wolves, and we had a decent-sized road trip. Oh, no, not that. And then Kathleen was pregnant. So it's horribly cold. She's far along in the pregnancy. And I'm calling games and also playing golf. So, yeah, I remember it a bit of a different way. But it was that's when we set the all-time low, right? Wasn't it in Tower?
Yep.
Where it was like 60 below or something crazy like that?
Yep, and guess what? And the kids still had to go to school.
Yeah, they're soft now. Let's be honest. Harrigan's kids, they don't go to school if it's 15 degrees.
Oh, they got the day off today. Looks like there's a cloud.
Yeah.
Shut her down.
Thanks again, Aaron, sincerely, for the kind words. Blizzard 1978. I was here. I don't remember that one in particular. In the 80s, there was a tornado, went through Edina, knocked down the marquee of the theater. I lived a few blocks from there. The Rogers tornado in 06, I do remember that. Back in the 1980s, I got caught up Majestic Oaks for a straight-line windstorm with over 100-mile-per-hour winds. Nearby Tom Thumb convenience store was leveled. By the way, Majestic, underrated. My terrible weather event, I was living in Windham, and a horrible whiteout blizzard, February of 84. When those whiteout blizzards take place, they are frightening. May 2001, the F1 tornado blew our garage off, peak of our house, front window and out. Luckily, the house mainly survived. I was in the eye of Hurricane Francis and Janine in 04.
Ooh.
Winter of 82-83, where it was horrible. Yes. That winter, I think it was 83-84, actually. I think the 83-84 was atrocious. Was that a paid spokesperson? Yes, it was. Somebody talks about the 87 horrible rains we had. That one rings home for me, just a quick aside here. So we're at my father's place out at the river. And my sister wasn't living at her Golden Valley house, but she was living nearby. And so she goes, hey, the house is flooding bad. My bedroom was in the basement. We lived off Bassett Creek. And she said, it's about to overwhelm. What should I get? I go, just go through and get any personal things that are important. God knows what personal things you might see. And any relevant clothes if you can. We stay at the river that day. I come home. All my personal stuff, she had left in there. My clothes, she had left in there. But it saved a vest and pants I wore when I was 4 years old. I'm exaggerating zero. That was the, she said she panicked when she got there. I go, was it really bad? It was at my feet. I go, at your feet? And like all my personal stuff, things I'd saved. It's not like I had a lot of documents. I was 21. You had
saved that neat little number you wore as a young little fella.
But yes,
started your love of vests.
Geez, maybe that's where my vest hate is. Thank you, Dr. Harrigan. You've discovered why I hate
that's
vests.
That's it. Come on the couch. You're welcome anytime.
That is it. Kyle Potter next. All right. If you're interested in travel and traveling information, Thrifty Traveler is a must. You need to check that out. You also should follow our guy Kyle Potter here on the Twitter machine, K Potter MN. Kyle, we play this game where Dave Harrigan comes up with a bumper music theme every day, and it's 2:39, and I've yet to ask him about the bumper music theme. Dave, you want to give us a clue in any way, and Kyle can play along.
Well, I will tell you the very first song I played today was by Willie Nelson. The title, Still Not Dead.
Still Not Dead.
Yes.
I can help you on this, Kyle. There were, thankfully, erroneous reports yesterday that the amazing Mary Jo Copeland from Sharon and Karen Hands had passed away from one idiot on Facebook. Classy, really classy thing to do. So Sharon and Karen Hands had to go to the point where on their website had to say, Mary Jo is fine. And we just had Mary Jo on the show. Has anybody falsely said to Kyle Potter, you are dead? Has anybody online somewhere said, sad news, Kyle Potter has passed away?
You know what? Fortunately for me, I think what's lower than a Z-list celebrity, whatever comes after that is not high priority for internet hoaxes. So I have been spared that indignity so far, and I'm looking to keep the streak alive.
Although I did hear you recently suggest that Lake Nokomis is the greatest lake in the state. Was that a cry for help? Were you being held hostage? I mean, what are you talking about?
All right, now, Chad, you're starting off with bringing fake news and breaking them over the coals, and then you do it yourself.
Yeah,
I said in the city of Minneapolis, and I stand by that. I would never say it is the best lake in the state of Minnesota.
I heard he said it's the best lake in America, Dave. Did you hear the same thing, or was it worldwide?
There's a lot of great lakes,
yeah,
but one greater lake, and that's Nokomis.
Okay, now, Dave Harrigan. Yes or no, you agree that Nokomis, you got Bidet Mikaska, you got Lake of the Isles, you got other ones, is, now I would say this, Nokomis is underrated significantly, but according to Dave Harrigan, is it the greatest lake in Minneapolis?
It's got the best food option right there. What do they call the Painted Turtle right now? I think that's what they changed the name to.
Painted Turtle. They got their taps turned back on this summer. Everything is coming up Lake Nokomis, you guys.
So is this just related to food? Is that what we're saying?
It's all part of the experience.
It is part of the experience. I agree. I have not. I need, off this conversation, Kyle, I need to check out Nokomis again. It's been a bit, and because I know you're waiting, you know, is it bated breath? I mean, why is our breath bated? I really don't know. Because I know you're waiting for affirmation. You really don't care that I'm going to give it the thumbs up or the thumbs down. Here's what I don't understand, and this is a topic I've covered on this dopey show of mine for 34 years, I bet 15 times. Fools bringing guns to the airport. You tweet this out early. The TSA says it stopped more than 5,000 firearms in the first 9 months of 2024. As you point out, that turns out to be 18 guns a day. And again, as you add, and I'm with you, how are people putting loaded firearms in their carry-on bags? I'm nervous to bring on a nail clipper razor. Kyle, I will check and double check. I don't fly as much as I used to during the Wolves and other days, but I still fly a reasonable amount. I will double and triple check. It does not seem plausible for me that I'm going to go and on my carry-on bag, oh, I forgot my Glock. My loaded Glock is in my bag. How does this keep happening?
It just boggles the mind, doesn't it? And, you know, the tough part about this is I think every American or many Americans can agree with the idea that the TSA has gone too far in the last two decades, and that, you know, limits on liquids and some of the stuff that they put you through going through security is all a bit much. But surely we can all agree that bringing a loaded gun onto an airplane is common sense, that you shouldn't do that, that you shouldn't have a loaded gun in the bag that you bring on with all of your 100-plus fellow passengers. I cannot comprehend how this happens 18 times a year, let alone 18 times a day.
Yeah, I could not agree more. You basically are the czar of travel already. So now I make you the czar of travel punishment to try to convince people that if you do this, look at what happens to you. What should be the punishment, according to Kyle Potter, for bringing a loaded weapon up to TSA?
You can continue flying, but you can only fly with Spirit. How's that?
That would be soul-crushing to a lot of people.
We would get those numbers down in our hurry, yes. Let me tell you. Yeah. No, Spirit is fine, but I do think that would be pretty effective.
I honestly think, Harrigan, two-year ban. I mean, we keep talking about this, and it doesn't get better. Two-year ban. If you are so derelict of this joint responsibility, 2 years, you're not allowed to fly, and then, you know, the legal ramifications can be a fine of some size. And if jail is a part of this, especially if it's a second time, Kyle, I have no problem with it. I really don't.
No, you know, there are a lot of escalating penalties. I mean, going from, you know, a pretty sizable fine even for first-time offenders, in some cases, arrest, obviously. One of the big ones, put quotation marks around the word big, is you're banned from using TSA PreCheck for at least 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Here's the sad part is that, okay, so the 5,000 plus people that have been stopped with a firearm in the first 9 months of 2024 is better than last year.
Yeah.
So we're making headway by a couple hundred firearms in a 9 month span. But yeah, I don't know. Fortunately, I'm not in Congress. Nobody wants that, least of all me. But certainly, I think we can do a better job at making sure that this stops happening because it's just inexcusable.
This is Kyle Potter from Thrifty Traveler. I'm looking at thriftytraveler.com right now, as I do often. Great site for all of your travel options. Part of what drew my attention to Kyle, maybe it was it a week ago when you listed some of the flight prices to Hawaii, and I could not believe how low they were. Can you expand on that a little bit? And was that just a brief flash and moment? Have they jumped back up and explain why they were as low as they were?
You know, sales like this are always brief. So, you know, the deal and these deals, which I'll get into a little bit more detail shortly, were incredibly good. So the better the deal, the shorter it lasts. So go figure, you know, our team of far more talented flight deal experts than I to our subscribers, you know, the price has shot back up north of $400, even $500 round trip in a matter of hours. But, you know, flying from Minneapolis all the way to Kauai, Kona, and Maui, round trip for $249, that is the lowest price we've ever seen. I mean, we've seen it below $300, not regularly, but a couple of times a year we see deals like that. But $249, I have paid double that to fly to Washington, D.C.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think the last time when I went to Hawaii, it was not $249. What else right now is a story that you're following closely with the travel industry, and you don't think the mainstream media, let's go with that evil term, the traditional media is paying close enough attention?
You know, we've had a pretty incredible run the last, it's been more than 2 years in a row now, of some of the cheapest domestic flight prices that we've ever seen, from Minneapolis across the country, yes, even out to Hawaii and back. And so this can't last forever, and it really is a byproduct of, you know, this huge surge of flights that we've seen across the country as airlines tried to climb their way out of the worst of the pandemic when they cut flights and they furloughed staff and, you know, eventually grew back, but grew back too much. And so, you know, with so much supply of flights, it's exceeded the demand. It's here in the United States. So it's been, you know, finding a cheap domestic flight for the last, you know, almost 3 years has been like shooting fish in a barrel with dynamite. So as much as I might have ripped on, you know, Spirit Airlines and suggested that, you know, idiots who bring guns through TSA checkpoints shouldn't be forced to them, you know, Spirit Airlines is the reason why. Spirit,
yeah, right.
and Frontier and Sun Country and even Southwest. And so, you know, while it's been an incredible run of cheap domestic fares the last 2.5-3 years, I'm a little bit worried at what we're seeing from how much many of those budget airlines are struggling and what it means for the future of flight prices going forward in 2025 and beyond.
Always a pleasure, sir. Know you're busy. Appreciate the time. We'll reach out again soon.
I'll see you around Lake McLomas, Chad.
Yes, exactly. 250. Kyle Potter from Thrifty Travel. The phone was warbling a little bit, but I think it was still clear enough that you can understand the good content Kyle was providing.
Regarding the lake and travel.
Yeah. I need to go to Nokomis.
Get to Nokomis, would you?
Two of us?
It's a great lake.
Together?
We want to, like, rent a kayak together or something?
Possibly.
Two-person kayak?
Let's go.
Let's do it.
What should the punishment be for the fools, the responsibility-less, who bring a loaded weapon for their trip, and then it's discovered by TSA? What do you think the punishment should be? Accurate and inaccurate answers as we come back. 651-461-9226.